This is not a test. As a person who grew up during the Cold War, I'll always remember driving along down the highway and listening to the radio when suddenly the music would stop and a grim-voiced announcer would come on the air and say, "This is a test of the emergency broadcast system." And then there would be a 30-second high-pitched siren sound. Fortunately, we never had to live through a moment in the Cold War where the announcer came on and said, "This is not a test." That, however, is exactly what I want to say here. This is not a test. The long-term opportunities and challenges that the flattening of the world puts before the United States are profound. Therefore, our ability to get by doing things the way we've been doing them, which is to say, not always tending to our secret sauce and enriching it, will not suffice anymore. If this moment has any parallel in American history, it is the height of the Cold War, around 1957, when the Soviet Union leaped ahead of America in the space race by putting up the Sputnik satellite. Yes, there are many differences between that age and our own. The main challenge then came from those who wanted to put up walls. The main challenge to America today comes from the fact that all the walls are being taken down, and other countries can now compete with us much more directly. The main challenge in that world was from those practicing extreme communism, namely Russia, China, and North Korea. The main challenge to America today is from those practicing extreme capitalism, namely China, India, and South Korea. The main objective in that era was building a strong state. The main objective in this era is building strong individuals. What this era has in common with the Cold War era, though, is that to meet the challenges of flatism requires as comprehensive, energetic, and focused a response as did meeting the challenge of communism. It requires our own version of the new frontier and great society adapted to the age of flatness. It requires a president who can summon the nation to get smarter and study harder in science, math, and engineering in order to reach the new frontiers of knowledge that the flat world is rapidly opening up and pushing out. And it requires a great society that commits our government to building the infrastructure, safety nets, and institutions that will help every American become more employable in an age when no one can be guaranteed lifetime employment. I call my own version of this approach compassionate flatism. Getting Americans to rally around compassionate flatism is much more difficult than getting them to rally around anti-communism. National peril is a lot easier to convey than individual peril, noted Johns Hopkins University foreign policy expert Michael Mandelbaum. Economics, as noted, is not like war, because economics can always be a win-win game. But sometimes I wish economics were more like war. In the Cold War, we actually got to see the Soviets parade their missiles in Red Square. We all got to be scared together, from one end of the country to the other. And all our politicians had to be focused and serious about marshaling the resources and educational programs to make sure Americans could keep pace with the Soviet Union. But today, alas, there is no missile threat coming from India. The hotline, which used to connect the Kremlin with the White House, has been replaced by the helpline, which connects everyone in America to call centers in Bangalore. While the other end of the hotline might have had Leonid Brezhnev threatening nuclear war, the other end of the helpline just has a soft voice eager to help you sort out your AOL bill or collaborate with you on a new piece of software. When it comes to responding to the challenges of the flat world, there is no helpline we can call. We have to dig into ourselves. It is going to take the sort of focus and national will that President John F. Kennedy called for in his famous May 25, 1961 speech to Congress on urgent national needs. At that time, America was recovering from the twin shocks of Sputnik and the Soviet space launch of a cosmonaut, Yuri Gagarin, less than 2 months before Kennedy's speech. Kennedy knew that while America had enormous human and institutional assets, far more than the Soviet Union, they were not being fully utilized. In that speech, Kennedy made a vow that has amazing resonance today. I am therefore transmitting to the Congress a new manpower development and training program to train or retrain several hundred thousand workers, particularly in those areas where we have seen chronic unemployment as a result of technological factors, in new occupational skills over a 4-year period, in order to replace those skills made obsolete by automation and industrial change with the new skills which the new processes demand. Amen. We too have to do things differently. We are going to have to sort out what to keep, what to discard, what to adapt, what to adopt, where to redouble our efforts, and where to intensify our focus. This is just an intuition, but the flattening of the world is going to be hugely disruptive to both traditional and developed societies. The weak will fall farther behind faster. The traditional will feel the force of modernization much more profoundly. The new will get turned into old quicker. The developed will be challenged by the underdeveloped much more profoundly. I worry because so much political stability is built on economic stability, and economic stability is not going to be a feature of the flat world. Add it all up, and you can see that the disruptions are going to come faster and harder. Think about Microsoft trying to figure out how to deal with a global army of people writing software for free. We are entering an era of creative destruction on steroids. Even if your country has a comprehensive strategy for dealing with flatism, it is going to be a challenge of a whole new dimension. But if you don't have a strategy at all, well, you've been warned. This is not a test. Being an American, I am most focused on my own country. How do we go about maximizing the benefits and opportunities of the flat world and providing protection for those who have difficulty with the transition without resorting to protectionism or runaway capitalism? I offer compassionate flatism, which is a policy blend built around 5 broad categories of action for the age of flat: leadership, muscle building, cushioning, social activism, and parenting. Leadership. The job of the politician in America, whether at the local, state, or national level, should be, in good part, to help educate and explain to people what world they are living in and what they need to do if they want to thrive within it. One problem we have today, though, is that so many American politicians don't seem to have a clue about the flat world. As venture capitalist John Doerr once remarked to me, "You talk to the leadership in China, and they are all the engineers, and they get what is going on immediately. The Americans don't, because they're all lawyers." I am not saying we should require all politicians to hold engineering degrees, but it would be helpful if they had a basic understanding of the forces that are flattening the world, were able to educate constituents about them and galvanize a response.